The man soon found she had a suitor, one of the younger male missionaries, who had come here with his mother, and it soon seemed as though she was repaying the affection and interest. At first he wasn't sure what their courtship was about, and it looked as though it was something almost chaste, but the young man found his mother didn't approve of the choice, and apparently he had a girlfriend, or at least a love interest, back home, and he wasn't supposed to flirt with a girl as badly behaved as Palua, who had a reputation for letting her pants come off her ass, and who was known to have thrown a tantrum in the competition when they tried to stop her from finishing the judging. The suitor protested that she had been taking private chastity lessons, but his mother said she had stopped taking them, and his mother knew some of the answers Palu had given on her chastity tests, and she informed her son, trying to convince him of Palua's poor morals. The man heard about this through the sex store, which knew all of the gossip, and would tell him very supportively what was happening. It didn't stop the suitor from wanting to see her, but it seemed to change the relationship, from possibly a long-term courtship, to the start of a secret sexual affair. The man watched Palua in chastity class, and whenever they were supposed to be doing book work, and talking quietly, the man heard Palua whispering to her girlfriends about the possibility of sex with her suitor, and he saw her pants sliding down at the back, and heard jealous D-cup rivals behind her, making snide remarks about what she was doing, about how she couldn't keep her pants on for more than 5 minutes, but Palu ignored them, because she desperately needed advice from her friends, and support. It was clear she was really serious about this man, like she wanted to throw her thighs open to him. Her girlfriends warned her that he was a missionary, and he had a love interest of some sort back home, and she could get in a lot of trouble, and it probably wouldn't happen between them, but Palua was determined, and she was just wondering whether she should choose a discreet way, or whether she should appear nude in the sex store magazine to inflame him with desire. Her girlfriends were shocked at the thought of appearing in the sex store magazine, but they soon agreed together it would be great fun if it happened. They built up the idea in their conversation, but they were naive teenage girls, and they knew they would get in trouble with their parents, and they soon realized it couldn't happen. There was a group of D-cup rivals behind them, in chastity class, and they told them, quietly, and discreetly, that the girls could go to the sex store, and register for a private photo shoot, just for fun. They could publish the photos later if they wanted, or they could show them privately to certain men, to inflame their desires, or just to have fun. They said they should discuss it with their whole group, because Palua's main group consisted of 6 D-cup friends, but there were only 2 others in the same chastity class, her most trusted friends. The girls behind them had already appeared nude as a group, and Palua and her friends agreed it would be wonderful to go, and at least do a private shoot, just for fun. As they talked, the man just kept looking at the girls and their wonderful breasts. He could see them through their clothing, and they were really starting to bother him, and their bottoms, and their shapely fitness, were really getting to his penis. He remembered the sex store telling him, it could really happen, he could make it happen, but he had to be bold, had to do things no one else would do. He didn't quite understand the meaning, but the urge in his penis was telling him to listen to them, even if they were a little dirty, because their sexist, naughty attitude towards the girls, was exactly what he wanted and he trusted them, because of the sexist attitude towards the girls' asses, which was exactly the way he saw them as well, seeing the girls the way the sex store wanted the male missionaries to see them, the way they were starting to see them, it was the same as his dirty, lustful, energetic but sexist approach, and he knew his desire for bottom sex with the girls, was solely because of the loveliness of their beauty, and their asses and breasts, their solid, massy tits, and he knew he had to trust them, when they told him that determination alone wasn't enough, and he had to be determined to push in the direction his penis urged. As the man was watching, he heard a noise from behind, and one of the female missionaries was there, and she just said "caught." The man had no intentions of losing his peephole, and his viewing privileges. He had been careful to make people think he was visiting the sex store, and carefully cut a hole in the fence surrounding the chastity classroom, so he could sneak in without being seen. He had been doing this for a long time, and now the pleasure seemed to be over. She escorted him off the premises, and told him, gleefully, that his viewing days were over. He waited a while, then crept back, and saw Palua walking out of chastity class, and finally, he summoned up the courage to try and talk to her. Unlike the other girls, he was amazed that she completely ignored him. He didn't realize this was going to happen. A couple of times he had said hi to her socially, and she had responded without much interest, but he assumed it was because he hadn't tried hard enough. Now he realized it was because he tried too hard, and she wasn't interested. He saw her breasts jiggle very gently through her shirt, and he looked with burning desire and lust. His penis burned, and it flooded with desire and heat, and he felt the pressure build up. He saw that Palua's D-cup friends were looking at his penis and laughing, because it was so red with envy and longing for Palua's ass. Later, when he was spying on them, he heard them talking to Palua about it, about what she had done to his penis just by ignoring him, and she laughed. Now, he had been burned twice, once by the female missionary, and once by Palua herself. That evening, he knocked on the door of the same female missionary who had caught him. She was shocked to see him, but he had entered the house before she could say anything. She started telling him, "If this is about that incident today, there is nothing to talk about." He thought about how he had been innocently looking at Palua's breasts, bouncing excitedly at the talk of sex, and how he needed to see what was happening in chastity class. His penis was poking out the top of his loincloth, and he felt it was about to happen. He looked at the ceiling, looked at her curtains, and thought of Palua's breasts, and then a golden stream burst forth from his penis, all over the ceiling. Filled with amazement that it was really happening, sighing with pleasure at finally releasing his inhibitions, he held his penis, and controlled the flow, directing the golden stream where he wanted it. He directed it all over her curtains, then her couch, playfully spraying everywhere, and when it was finished, he looked at the door, almost ready to go, and then he realized something more was coming. He saw the female missionary, hiding in a corner, not knowing what to do. Then he sat on the arm of the couch, his bottom facing outwards, thinking of Palua's ass, and he felt the pressure in his buttocks, and he let it happen. A large, thick, long tract of poo came out, filling his loincloth, stretching it, weighing it down, but still it held. He was amazed at how big the slab of poo was, how long and thick. He paused for a moment, thought of beautiful Palua's ass again, her pants down, talking about sex with another man, like it was going to happen, and he released another, large, long tract of poo, and as it slowly extruded itself from his anus, he realized there was nothing anymore that could stop it, that it was now too late even for him to do anything about it, and he felt the slab of poo almost ready to overbalance, felt that the weight in his loincloth was just too great, and he thought of Palua's huge breasts weighing heavily against her shirt, and the shock of what was happening became so small compared to the need, and he ignored the urge to fight it, and he let it out, pushed harder, creating as long a tract of poo as he could. As he felt the slab of poo filling his loincloth, feeling it could spill, he remembered what the sex store had taught him, that he needed to push boundaries, not just with his willpower, but with his penis, and he realized this was what they were talking about, or at least he sensed it was, and he had to believe, so even though he suddenly felt so far from beautiful Palua, that beautiful bosomy girl, he knew he had to go through with this, and he pushed, and the big mass of poo was still growing, even though it was well past the size that would fall, and it was really ready to tip, and just the way he wanted, but scarcely believed possible, the giant mass of poo slowly oozed out, slid out smoothly through the leg of his loincloth, sliding down his thigh, onto the floor, onto the carpet. He heard the missionary gasp in astonishment, and that was when it felt real, when he knew she had seen, and he had gone to the toilet in front of her, on her carpet. And he felt it was taking him so far from Palua, his lovely, bosomy girl, but also bringing them closer later, somehow, he didn't know how, but this promise of it helping with his affection for her, even if he didn't understand how it was possible, still filled his penis with excitement too, and as another slab of poo came out, he realized it was going out the same way, and he moaned with excitement, "Oh," and the female missionary gasped in terrible shock, and somehow, he pictured his big-breasted, tight-assed girl in the nude. It was like his poing had got his ass naked, thinking of her as just an ass, the way the sex store sometimes encouraged. His tight, brunette, big-breasted ass girl was naked in his dirty thoughts, and it encouraged him even more. And he told the missionary, "This is a message, not just from me, but from the sex store," and he told her, they had told him he should push boundaries, to show the girls what was possible, and then he felt another big poo coming, and he sat on the couch for this one, so it would rub in, and he deliberately rubbed it around, and into the couch, and he could hear her horrified gasps, and he told her, "This is a message, you need to understand this message, you need to ask yourself if your men will do anything to stop me, because they need me, I don't always appeal to the girls, but I open them up, and they need me for all of the dirtiest reasons, I'm their scapegoat, but I didn't bring the sex store, they did, they brought the sex store." He was sure that it didn't matter, now that he had started, and this pleasure was his to enjoy. He went down the hallway, into several of the rooms, leaving Pooh there, much to his own amazement. Then he went out the front, and tipped his loincloth out, tipping out the solid poo that had stayed in his loincloth, onto her front porch. He was amazed at what had happened, but he was shocked as well, and when the story went around, the girls were almost laughing, but they were also a little bit surprised and overwhelmed. The man went to the sex store for help, and they promised to be supportive, replacing his loincloth for him on the spot, for free, and telling him they would help him. He soon found there would be a trial, but he received an anonymous note, delivered through the sex store, telling him how to get off. It was clear that it was from the male missionaries, and because they needed him as a scapegoat, they couldn't let him get in trouble and get thrown off the island. They told him not to apologize under any circumstances, but to admit to what had happened, to say it was an accident, because he just couldn't get to the toilet in time, and to say he had learned the importance of being careful. The man had come to the big city on the mainland, with the male missionaries, and the beautiful girls with their lovely breasts. The female missionaries were coming the next day, so the girls would be free to mess around, and have a lot of fun, and because the city had a good reputation as a party scene second to none, it seemed unlikely that if the girls started having fun, that anything would stop them, and the sex store had already filled him with longing thoughts of their breasts and their bottoms and filled him with hope, in this place, where traditional culture competed with a sudden modern obsession with beauty, that the girls, with their incredible pride in their breasts, bottoms, and beauty, would be unable to resist the affections of local suitors. He was hoping it would warm them up, preparing them for his trial, hoping by that time, they would be so warmed up, that instead of seeing it as a judgment of his behavior, they would see his actions as an erotic appeal for freedom. He had been worried, but the sex store assured him, they really were able to see the positive, affirming side of what he had done, and although they were a long way from being able to admit it to anyone else or even themselves, although he the wonderful cause of these new emotions, he was certainly the last person they would admit it to. So even if they admitted it sincerely to the sex store, the man they had begun to associate with sexual freedom was unlikely to receive the same wonderful respect. And the sex store told him, although he had done something wonderful for them, and they might secretly become aware of how much they owed him for his bravery, these beautiful, big-tit girls, he would suffer the disrespect, and they would think of him as somehow too dirty, and they would feel sexual thoughts for him, but they would have trouble giving him sexual pleasures, and they would have trouble receiving sexual pleasure from him, because of the guilt, but he would always be the one who had opened them up, and it was possible that they would understand, even admit to themselves, that he had put them in touch with a new world of pleasure, and fun parties and bikinis and pool parties. Oh, and there was nothing the girls wanted more than wearing a bikini at a pool party, the skimpier the better. The female missionaries were coming the next day, so the first day was for shopping and parties. But because of the trial, it seemed as though the rules were different, and in this place, although they were people with very traditional culture, a small few young, attractive girls seemed to need to flaunt their looks publicly, and Palua and her two best friends were immediately guilty of going too far with their clothing, so much so that the strict aunties in that place cautioned them, but they found they could ignore it, as if the power of his pooing was in their heads, and in their hearts, making them braver, and they were all wearing incredibly skimpy shorts and tube tops that were almost see-through, and they rudely and boldly told the strict aunties, back home, on the island, their chastity clothes had see-through tops, so if they kept getting grief, they would wear see-through tops here as well, and maybe even skimpier. They were at a technology expo, and someone asked them, why do you wear such tiny outfits? And Palluas said, because it makes me and everyone I see really happy. The sex store had told him their little secret, but he thought he knew, but they confirmed it, that the girls, like most beautiful, young girls, deep down, knew that men masturbated a lot, especially over beautiful, young girls, and their daydream was not to be the girl who got the guy, but to be the girl who got the guy to masturbate over her looks and her beauty. And beautiful Palua, who was perhaps the most resistant to the charms of men, seemed to be the least resistant to the charms and the thrill of making them masturbate, even though she said, it makes people happy when she wears these clothes. He thought it was just an excuse.